It's Friday, April 7th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everyone. We've got a great show for you tonight. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and of course, for all of our long-term subscribers, hey, thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed. And for those of you who are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you stick around for a few episodes and become part of the family here. And of course, you can find lots of great content over on geeknewscentral.com. You'll find the archive podcasts via the podcast link. And if you want to sign up for our newsletter, or actually our mailing list, where you would get the show notes from the show delivered to your inbox every morning, make sure you sign up for that. That's available via the second column of the website. Well, thank goodness it's Friday. I'm telling you, I am ready for the weekend. I have spent all week, quite literally every waking moment, studying for my final exams, and I'm going to be taking one tomorrow morning, and then another one Saturday morning. So it's Thursday night here that I'm recording, so you guys get the show up on Friday morning. But I tell you what, it's been a great week, very, very, very productive otherwise, and I'll talk about a few things tonight. And, you know, two nights ago, we're sitting here at the house, and it's kind of quiet. The weather's nice, sun's shining. It's like Hawaii's the way it's supposed to be. The trade winds are back. It's just absolutely beautiful. And all of a sudden, my kids start screaming, "Dad, Dad, 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 look, 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 look." And as you know, I live on Ford Island here in Honolulu. And Ford Island is separated from the main island of Oahu by just a little bit. It's a little bridge. It's kind of a small island. And during World War II, the Arizona was piered here, along with the Utah and a number of other ships. And my house lays essentially, if you draw a straight line from the Arizona Memorial across Ford Island to where the Utah is at, almost a direct line through my house. So anyway, we're over on the Utah side, and my kids are screaming because there is this huge object being brought up to one of the piers here. And for a number of months, there's been the Seabase X-Band radar has been here in Hawaii getting a paint job. And this thing is mammoth. If you do a search for it, you'll find a Wikipedia entry for it. It actually shows you this thing. But I'm not kidding you. From my house to where this thing is at is like 200 yards. And it is unbelievable. It is huge. When it first arrived in Hawaii, I was at work on the other side of the island, and I was coming home down on the H3, which is one of the main highways here. And I saw this huge thing, and I'm like, what in the world is it? Have the aliens landed or something? I mean, this thing is built on an oil platform. And so I'm coming down the hill, and my mouth is wide open because it's so huge. But it's been over on the other side of Pearl Harbor getting painted at the shipyard. And this thing, you can see it from everywhere on the island. It's that big. And they moved it, and it's basically right outside my house. So it is it's just amazing. So we got the kids and rode the bikes over there, and you can't get into the area, of course, because they got security up and everything. But we're able to, you know, stay on the road and take a look, and it's mammoth. I'd hate to have to climb the stairs to get into it, but this thing is pretty amazing. You guys can check it out on Wikipedia. There's a little bit of info on it. Hey, we've got several new affiliates over at techpodcast.com. I want to real quickly talk about those. We've got From the Director's Chair is a new podcast that is become an affiliate. We have the PSP podcast and Peter's Mac Tips. That's three that have become affiliates. So we want to welcome them to the affiliate core over there at Tech Podcast. We've also got some new members as well. I don't have those names and show names right close and handy, but if you go over to techpodcast.com, you'll see that. Along with that, of course, the sponsor over there for the network is GoToMeeting, and we're going to be putting on a live roundtable here in a couple of weeks where we'll be we're building up the agenda right now, and hopefully we'll have a date for it. I think it's going to be in 2 weeks. Either 2 weeks or three, but I think in two we'll probably have it if everything goes right, that we've got everything together. And, of course, we'll make the announcement here on the show. It'll be in the show notes, but that'll be using the GoToMeeting application. It's a web-based meeting software, and you can get a free 30-day trial. You don't need a credit card to get started. You just go to gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable and get your free trial. You'll see why we have fallen in love with the application, those that attend the meetings. It's a Windows-based only product, so for those of you that are Apple users, which soon you're going to be able to actually use it on your Apples. We'll talk about that a little later. And but otherwise, main important thing about what's going on over there is the contest. Almost forgot. So I would like to announce the Tech Podcast U3 Developer Contest. And those of you that were at the roundtable last time, remember that we were had a guy on from U3 that talked about smart drives. And for those of you that aren't familiar with smart drives, it's essentially a USB memory stick with applications on it, smart applications on it. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving away three prizes, a $500 prize, $250, and $100 in American Express cash certificates for the winners. And one winner will be awarded in each of the three categories. Now, this is a true geeky contest. And if you're a developer, if you've got a little tool or program that you want to port to become a U3 application, we're going to be having the categories of office productivity, utilities, and games and entertainment. The contest is going to run from April 3rd, which is already passed, through May 15th. And the final submissions must be received by U3 no later than midnight Pacific on May 15th. Now, I've got all the details on the Tech Podcast website, techpodcast.com website, and you can figure out how to download the developer's kit. You can how to register. There's basically a 3-4-step process and some validation. And the judges are going to be made up of Tech Podcast members and U3. So it's going to be great. Now, I think what will happen is once we have judged everything and notified the winners, the prizes will be mailed directly from U3 on or around June 15th. But we're going to announce the winners on or before June 4th. So if you're a developer, you've got a program, or you have been working on something, you know, if you want to just test the waters with this, you can do so. And this is a great opportunity for the true geeks out there to get involved with a great, great promotion. And we hope that you step up and do this. Now, if you have a friend who has an application or is a developer, let them know that we got this going on. You know, this may actually, if they take some time and put the thought process into it. I guess it's not that difficult to port it. It may actually pay for their time to do it by, if you have 2 or 3 hours or 4 or 5 hours of porting time to port the application to a smart drive, then you may actually be able to pay for it with the prizes. So good opportunity here for someone. All right, what else have I got in my initial list here? I talked about the finals. Oh, you know what? I got an email today back from a company, and it said it was a real nice letter from the CEO. It said, "Thanks, Todd. We appreciate your review that you did of our product on your website. We've been getting massive amount of traffic from it. Thanks so much." And I kind of went back and I looked at the inbounds to that particular article. And what I noticed was we were getting a massive number of Google inbounds. And so what I did is I determined that the search words that were being used, we had absolutely went from the, this pile of strong competition of different product placements by companies to the one and two spots in many search categories for many of the products we reviewed. And I thought, wow, I didn't realize that because, you know, I'm doing searches on Google for stuff that I think is going to be used to find my website. But I do these, you know, I'm looking at the search results that's coming into the website, and I'm finding that we're placing, you know, our reviews are being ranked really, really high in Google. And I thought, oh, man, that's good to go. So what I've been doing is watching any of the incoming search results now. And as we see our rankings come up in Google, we've been sending companies we've been doing reviews to and say, hey, we got some Google juice for you. You know, here's where you are now and here's where you were before. And very powerful stuff and kind of cool to see. All right. And now here's the most important thing for those of you that are podcasters out there. You've heard me talk about Blueberry, and we are right now finishing up our feature set, and we're going to have a meeting in the very, very near, within the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a meeting, and what we're going to do is there's a core group of podcasters that we're going to run everything through initially at Raw Voice. All those are podcasters over there have been with PCN have already been signed an NDA, and we're going to run the whole program through them and get their feedback and make some changes and adjustments to what we need to. But right after that, we're going to do a very quick turnaround. I think I have about 200 people that have requested information on Blueberry. And what we'll be doing is we'll be sending out an announcement saying, okay, we're going to have a meeting. If you want to participate in the pre-rollout meetings to have a say and how the entire site's going to operate, we're going to require you to sign some paperwork, and you'll be able to attend the meeting. So if you're interested, go over to blueberry.com, BLUBRRY.com, BLUBRRY.com. There is a email sign-up window there. You can put your email in, and I'll be emailing everyone in the next 2 or 3 days with the details on what they have to do to participate in the initial meeting. If you don't and you want to wait, that's cool, because we'll send out something afterwards to those that are going to just wait till it goes up live. But we're in the final stages right now. We're pretty happy about it. So I get the developers are working like crazy, and I'm excited about the rollout. I know many of you are probably like, what in the heck is he talking about? But it's going to be another podcasting site. That's all I can say at this point. And I think if you read the commentary over on rawvoice.com, maybe you'll get a little bit of an idea of our focus. All right, 13 minutes already, and I need to move on. We got lots of great show commentary tonight. But first of all, let's make sure we save you some money. Did you know your number one source for all your internet needs? GoDaddy.com has new domain names, transfers, and renewals as low as $1.99. Plus, check out their hosting plans, website builders, secure certificates, and much, much more. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code. Here's a new one, GEEK4, GEEK4. That's Geek and the number 4 when you check out and save an additional $5 off on any order $30 or more. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com or use code word Todd to get 10%. All right, lots of really good news today and lots of great commentary on the website as well. Of course, I had some people coming in bashing me saying, you don't like Apple. You don't like Apple. How come you're, you know, it's not true. It's not true. Just trying to be objective. So, but we'll get into the Apple news here in a little bit to give you some perspectives. But I did want to point you at some stuff going on in the mobile world. I have been asked to do mobile phone reviews, and to be honest with you, we don't get mobile phone reviews, but I can do the next best thing and talk about applications for the mobile phone. And I don't know if you're familiar or not, but a company by the name of Melodio has a application called MobileCast, and you are able to, on select phones, get a little application downloaded to your mobile phone that will actually be able to allow you to get podcasts via their MobileCast technology. So they've got some changes going on over there. And I think what else is happening is that they're getting ready to, from everything I've heard, and an article that came out on SeattlePI.com, is they're getting ready to introduce some sort of a podcasting site. So be curious to see what they're going to offer. And we look forward to them entering the space. Now, what's kind of cool is all the content over in PCN actually works really well for mobiles because of the length of the podcast. Now, I did write, I didn't know if I had permission to say anything about it on Monday, Monday night when I did the show, but I did get word I could talk about it. Amazon.com has started publishing a podcast. It's called Amazon Wire, and I'm pretty happy to say that gentleman that's hosting the show, I had dinner with it at the Consumer Electronics Show. It was during an event for Wiley Publishing, and so they have a podcast now, and my publisher was kind of interesting enough. He put this post up on his on the Extreme Tech website. It said, "Guess who taught Amazon to podcast?" And he essentially gives me credit for getting Amazon to podcast. Now, I don't think that's necessarily completely true because they're a very smart group over there. But if we had anything at all to do with their foray into the podcasting space, then I'd gladly take a little bit of credit. But obviously, they're going to have some great stuff going on over there. They're going to be interviewing authors, movie production people, all kinds of different types of cool content. Again, Amazon Wire, and I have a link up to some articles that were up about what's going on at Amazon. Have you guys heard about this technology that Microsoft has put together in one of their have you heard about Microsoft Research, I guess? That's a group of about 700 people in 5 separate labs that are all over the world that are doing special little projects. It's kind of almost like how Google has their special little projects going on. Microsoft has some of that same thing. So they've come out with you probably have heard about this, it's called BitVault. Well, so it's a sort of a P2P application, and they are going to be rolling this out as an actual commercial product here soon. And what I think is very interesting about this is it almost allows people to set up this distributed storage on multiple PCs, running bare bones boxes with large hard drives. And it's almost like kind of like a RAID system where if one box goes down, the other ones will kind of replicate, kind of like a BitTorrent type deal. So I think it's pretty cool. And I don't know what the scale is that you need to be able to make this happen, but there's security that's tied in. You know, I was talking with Angela, our developer at Raw Voice, and, you know, I've got some cool toys at work, and he's got some cool toys at his work, too. And he was talking about how they've got a couple of HP mass storage devices that have 8 drives in it, and they can physically, you know, lose 3 drives on that unit and stick 3 new drives in, and it'll actually rebuild because of the RAID capability and hot swappable power supplies. And, you know, and of course, price tags, very expensive, very, very, very expensive for this technology. And, you know, on a consumer level anyway, very expensive. But this may be a way in which, you know, it's kind of a poor man's backup system almost. But it looks like they're going to have a commercial product around this. We'll see what evolves, but who knows, maybe you can stack up all those old hard drives you have in a couple of machines and make this this BitVault work for you. We don't know. We'll see how much it's priced and how they're going to actually license it. Netflix is in the news today. They are basically going to court. They're going after Blockbuster. They were, and what's kind of surprising here is that Netflix was awarded a business model patent a few days ago, and they immediately sued Blockbuster, seeking damages and trying to halt Blockbuster's online rental operations. Well, I'm sure this is going to be expensive and long, drug out. You know what, Netflix, why sue? Just outperform them, okay? That's all you got to do. You just got to outperform them. Don't sue them. You know, because people see that and they're like, oh, you're just trying to corner the market. And it makes people get mad and people who actually start up new business models that compete with you. Go ahead and compete with them on substance, not on over your patent, which is probably going to be questionable at best if they're going to be able to completely defend their patent. That's one thing about patents. You end up spending a lot of time in court. All right, over on Mark Cuban's weblog, he's got a very good article. He's actually two of them in a row that was written. And the first one, it says, getting paid to learn. And, going to school and learning a lot of stuff in books, boy, tell you what, it's all good and dandy, but there's nothing like out there and learning school of tough knocks and getting beat up a little bit by making decisions that may not work good, that may not work right. And, it's a learning process. And he kind of talks about the process that he went through as he had gotten out of college and how he'd bounced around a couple of jobs. I think it's pretty interesting, and I think it's telling of a lot of people that are young who think that the world owes them something. And it's, you got to have to pay your dues a little bit. But it just goes to show that even though you don't have, you have to use your first few jobs as learning experiences, and then it sets you up for big things, Of course, excuse me, I had something. What was that? Of course, if you had, if everyone had the success rate that he did, it'd be a very different world. But interesting his perspective, to say the least. All right, those of you that are still using your Internet Explorer on your PCs for the last 2 or 3 weeks, even though there's been some very nasty stuff in the wild going on, Microsoft is set to release 5 security patches for its products next Tuesday, including a highly anticipated Internet Explorer fix that will address a very serious bug. And we're going to be talking about another bug that was just found, too. Not only is the bug that's, 0 day is already out there in the wild that's going to get fixed, they just found another one. So it's this ongoing, everyday thing with Internet Explorer. And, fortunately, there's not so much with Windows anymore. We still see some in Office, of course, but it just seems like IE is the big target and the big bullseye that the hackers go after. So pay attention to where you're going on the Internet with the Internet Explorer, okay? Along with that, Microsoft is now trying to push DRM into mobile phones. Microsoft on Wednesday said it would begin investing to take its Windows Media DRM technology into the wireless world. Well, that's just what we don't need. And I'm hoping that Singular and Motorola and companies like that stand up and say, no, you're not putting that DRM crap on our phone. Let's be honest. Most of the phones are not getting super high. They don't have the storage. They don't have, as of yet anyway, most mobile phones don't have the storage bandwidth to be able to support all of this super, high quality music and material. So why are you doing that? Okay. But I guess it's the DRM way, just like Apple has their own foot in the, in the door on making sure they try to protect content. On the Google front today, Google has upgraded the toolbar for Firefox. So if you are actually using the actual initial Google toolbar for Firefox, the Google toolbar number 2 is available. I'll have a link to the article from InfoWorld. You can download it and check it out. It's actually got some new stuff, some anti-phishing stuff built into it. I don't know what else. It's got some safe browsing extensions. So this would be off. This should be good. Should be able to get some use out of this. I need to read the policy on it to see what they're calling home to mama and reporting what you're doing. Well, anyway, we'll keep you advised. Caught an article on a blog that I don't normally read. It's called Mob Happy at mobhappy.com. And it's by a gentleman by the name of Russell Buckley. And he's got some interesting information on his site talking about mobile advertising starting to take off. Now, I don't know about you folks, but have you got any advertisements delivered to your phones yet? Have you been inundated with an IM or something or a text message by someone? Well, there's a survey on his website that's from Marketing Sherpa Incorporated that was published in January of 2006 by eMarketer.com. It kind of lists some of the different percentage points on where companies are going with their marketing and their advertising right now. But it looks like they're going to really be going after those of you that are doing mobile video. So if you're experiencing ads on any video that you're actually downloading right now, I'd like to hear what you think about it, and I'd like to hear what the quality is, if they're enhanced, if they're, you know, if they're good, or is it the standard fare that you're seeing on TV? Like a little feedback if you would, geeknews@gmail.com. And those of you that are listening to the show on the stream over at techpodcast.com, you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast at geeknewscentral.com. And for those of you that hear me do that once in a while, what we have is we've got a stream that's going on over at over on the Tech Podcast Network. And we've actually started to see a significant number of people that are actually listening to the stream on a consistent basis. And part of it's because some people can't listen to the shows. I can't take MP3s into the office. But they're actually can stream them. So it's kind of funny. So they're getting their tech fix via the stream over there on the network. Okay, I've got, I already talked about the second security hole that was found in IE. And what apparently happens is the error could be exploited to fake the address bar in a browser, which is going to set you up for a phishing attack. So, you know, it's typical online scams that they're trying to cipher information from you. So, let's see what else. Where do you actually have to do to get this? They're saying, what is the risk level on this? They're not saying, oh, the risk level is high. So, we will see if they actually make a patch for this next week. I doubt it since it's just been initially reported, but maybe they'll surprise us. We'll see. Last week, when I was over at a little tech show that we had here in Honolulu, I was talking to this folks at Sprint about the eVideo service and the 3G service they have here. And I've been reading up on rollouts of more advanced type of technology. And they're getting ready to start nationwide rolling out what they're calling the eVideo Revision A. What Revision A will do is will give you a significant increase in speed over regular eVideo 3G right now. And it's pretty exciting, and they're going to start rolling it out in some of the major markets. Las Vegas is going to be one of the big ones. And when they do roll it out into Vegas, what they're going to do initially is they're going to be going after the DSL market. So if you are living in Vegas and you are now on a DSL provider, Sprint Nextel is going to be going after that market. I think that's they're going to be kind of like the third hub here. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it with the current pricing, because if you look at some of the cheap DSL, people are getting DSL now for like $20, almost ridiculous, almost cheaper than dial-up. And I think my eVideo service I'm paying for, because I'm not a I don't have a Sprint phone. Actually, that's going to change here in a few weeks. Sprint sending me a phone to evaluate and to test their service on. But there's a since I'm actually just an eVideo customer right now, there is a I pay I think $79 a month or something like that for that service. And how many people are going to do that? I'm sure if they have their wireless phone with them, they get it at a lower price. I think $69 or something. Yeah, it's around $60 a month. So are they going to be able to compete then with that price differential? Is it going to be they make that much difference that people are going to be able to take their broadband with them? It may make the difference, because how many of you have connectivity in the home, and then you also, like I do, pay for connectivity when you leave the house? I'm sure that if you could have the speed all the time, it may make sense. And with the Revision A, the speed will be such that it will compete with some of the DSL offerings. Now, it's not going to be as fast as cable, as obviously, and I know that my eVideo connection here is definitely not as fast as cable, and but it is definitely a lot faster than dial-up. So don't get me wrong there. And the differential is significant enough that I know that I'm saving a lot more time working on the eVideo card than I would be dial-up, most definitely. So we'll keep an eye out on it. I'm going out to Vegas the first week of June, or actually second week of June, to give a keynote to some educators out there. So we'll see if they have Revision A rolled out there. That would be cool to experience that speed, and we'll see, maybe even come back and give a report on it from Vegas when I'm out there. Okay, here's the big news of the day, and I'm sure those of you that are Apple users, you already have the clue or have a insight into what's going on, but Apple on their birthday anniversary announced one of the most amazing announcements that has ever come out of the press offices of Apple in a very, very long time, is that you are now going to be able to run Windows on your Intel-based Macs. So what it is they've come up with a product called Bootcamp. It allows you to, it's basically a setup process that allows you to install a regular version of Windows on your Mac, and initial reports coming back sound pretty good. There hasn't been too many incompatibility issues. People are running games so far and applications. So you're going to now be able to, if you want, and have OS X. Those of you that are Mac users and have been clamoring, I guess that is what the Apple site indicated, was that Apple users were clamoring for Windows, which I don't understand. If they wanted Windows so bad, why didn't they just buy a Windows machine that's cheaper? But I'm smiling. Okay, some of you are like, but you know, I think the thing it kind of I've been reading a lot of commentary. Of course, I've been putting a lot of commentary on Geek News Central too. Is that people say, well, this will give people that are on Windows machines a chance to switch to OS X and be comfortable in the switch because they'll be able to switch back and forth. I don't know. I don't know about that. We'll see. You know, they're predicting now that this is going to be result in a huge increase in the in sales of the Mac. Now, it may result in some increase, but I really don't know if, you know, how many of you have dual booted before? I've done a lot of dual booting. I had a machine back that was running Linux on one part of the boot and Windows on the other. It's kind of a pain, and usually end up being one versus the other. So I think the virtual stuff probably has a very much, to me, that's more enticing, running virtual Windows on a Mac than running a dual boot system. But they're up and running, and actually some of the test results that are coming back on benchmarks are actually pretty good too. So I guess we'll see what happens. Now, one thing that I did read, let me go back and see if I can find the link here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Apple enthusiasts have long talked about the halo effect, the notion that iPod sales will ultimately see more consumers buy Macs rather than PCs. To date, market share data has failed to bear that notion out, and I can't imagine the sudden availability of Windows on a Mac is going to create a corporate halo effect either. And this is coming from a commentary off of ZDNet. And then the PC World article actually talks about some of the graphics results that I'm going to link up to you. We've got some more stuff here, too. There's just been a pile of it. I'm sure you guys have seen it. And it relates to another article that I'm going to tell you about. You're going to laugh a little bit. But, you know, why are you really going to do that? Are you guys going to go out and buy Windows? You know, you guys talk so bad. Some of you listeners, Tim, I know you're out there listening to the show. Tim is a constant poster. He runs the Surf Bits podcast over at surfbits.com. And he says that Windows are nothing but virus, Trojans, spyware-laden, bug-filled machines. You know, that is not true. It really, really is not. You know, I have not had a virus on my computer in years. Sure, viruses come in, but guess what? I have the available tools to be able to protect my machine from being infected. Now, some people say the Mac will never be infected with a virus. Okay, whatever they want to say, let them say it. I honestly think that that could be something that may come back and bite some people in the butt. But anyway, we'll let them have their say right now. We obviously know that it's been much, much more secure, and we know that the operating system has been less susceptible to Trojans and spyware. We know that, okay? But you guys talk so bad. Some of you talk so bad about Windows. Why are you going to go and buy Windows and give Bill Gates money? Because that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to license it. And I know some of you have two machines now, and this may give you an opportunity to run just one machine. And I understand that completely. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out. We'll see how sales do. Obviously, this is quite the paradigm shift. Now the question will be, is will somebody go out and take the time, you know, because I don't know if there's the desire by Windows users to run OS X on a Windows-based PC. I just don't know if that's out there. But maybe someone will start doing that, put it together, and I'm sure Apple will not want that. They don't want OS X on any other hardware because they want you locked in paying their extremely overinflated price for their... The machines are pretty. Don't get me wrong. They're pretty. And, you know, I like my powerhouse. I have an animal of a machine here, and I don't care that it's pretty. I think it's pretty. It's a nice machine. It does what I want, but I don't fret over style. Just like my car. I drive my car back and forth to work. It's an object. My computer is an object. I'm not in love with my computer. And I know that the Mac experience is different. You guys are in love with your machines, which is cool. You know, the Mac Mini sits over here, and it's a computer. Just as my Windows machine is a computer, it looks cool. It looks cool. I get my point. It's just a computer, folks. It does the job. But here's the kicker. Here's the thing that's going to get some of you excited. There's another article on PC World that says, should Microsoft buy Apple? I don't think it will ever happen, but it is kind of an interesting thought. What would you guys do if Microsoft bought Apple? I think people would protest. They would drive up to Redmond and protest. Now, another thing that I wasn't aware of, but did you know that the IRS is weighing the release of data? They're considering plans to change the rules governing release of taxpayer information. So they're going to make it so that you can actually go to the IRS website and give consent to have your tax return information shared with investors and other types of people. Who's going to do that? I just cannot. It just shocks me that people would do that. When you're buying a house or something like that, sure, you got to bring that in. You show that to your bank, and that's a disclosure, but they sign this piece of paperwork saying they're not going to share that information with anyone. I can't imagine giving someone permission to go get my tax return besides my tax preparer. I just can't imagine it. I really, really can't. But it's being proposed. I'll have the link up in the show notes. On the science front, there's been some research done on the particles that were collected actually from one of the original Apollo mission by Neil Armstrong, where he collected lunar soil. And some of that dirt has been sampled and tested. And then what they are doing is they're trying to find out what is the makeup of the sun. And the hypothesis is that because of the solar winds and everything else, that particles from the sun will end up on the moon. And what their studies have found is that there was two different theories going on and what the composition of the moon is. And from everything that they've detected so far right now is that it's not neither of the initial theories. So scientists are scratching their heads a little bit. This is some information that is really on, you know, the high technical edge as far as talking about isotopes and that type of stuff. So if you're into science, this would be a cool article to read. But yeah, like they can go out and sample the sun? I don't think so. But it is kind of curious, you know, if you think about the you know, what the type of energy the sun puts off is what is the composition of the sun? That's one of those questions that man has got to get their hands around, and they haven't yet. But no, this wasn't published on April Fool's Day either, okay? It was published on April 6th. The RIAA is obviously still continuing to act like a bully and push people around. And there's been some, of course, people standing up now with them and fighting them, and it's an ongoing deal. But there's a good article on it from TechDirt on how the RIAA had an opportunity to essentially get some good press, and they opted not to. And it just goes to show that They're just being downright mean, and it continues. Heard about these teens over on MySpace? They decided they were going to firebomb an abandoned aircraft hangar. And I guess it was a pretty impressive fire. Well, they posted the video of themselves doing this firebombing. this is a Ripley's. I can't believe how stupid they are. First of all, they were stupid for doing what they did, but they're even more stupid to put it on MySpace. They didn't think that someone was going to see it, and just shocking. And they could see the video. They could see themselves in the video, and they put it on their personal MySpace. Oh my gosh. The youth of today. Hello. Well, I'm glad they did. I'm glad they got caught. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad they were really, really, really smart on that. I had some more Apple stuff here intermixed. They said that the Windows iMac runs Photoshop faster. The Windows iMac, in other words, Windows running on an iMac, runs Photoshop faster than OS X. Which is very, very curious. They're actually saying that some of the benchmarks that are coming out from the integration is surprising some people, and they're scratching their heads why. And it must be that superiorly engineered equipment by Apple, right? Okay, and it could be true. We'll see. All right, those of you that are using BitTorrent, I hope you're using Osiris. It has been crowned the most popular open source software for BitTorrent clients. I personally use it and endorse it. I really do like it. It's updated on a regular basis. Again, it's called Ozureus, Azureus. And I'll have a link to it in the show notes. You guys can check it out. And if you're not running it already and you're using any doing peer-to-peer or anything with BitTorrent, you can check it out. All right, there's been a lot of talk in the space today about a Forrester Research podcasting survey that came out, and the gal that did it has taken a lot of heat. Her name's Charlene. Let's see here. What is her name? Charlene. Well, whatever her name is, Charlene Lee or something like that. And she essentially said they did this survey and they estimated that only the number of households being impacted in the United States is only 1%, or 700,000 people are actually likely to listen to a podcast. And I put a pretty good post up on Geek News Central just before the show that says I think it's their survey is full of bunk. And it's just because I have collected very hardcore stats now for about 10 months, starting with collecting all of the data over at Tech Podcast, with running the tool that was developed by Kevin Devin with PodStats. The data that we're seeing come out of our where our engine is being licensed from Raw Voice on the different networks we're running on, stuff that's coming out of PCN. You know, I know what the listener numbers are. I know very, very and highly accurately on how many podcasts are being downloaded from a show-to-show basis. And, you know, we're not tracking where you guys are coming from. We're not geo-targeting or any of that stuff, but we are tracking what the download rate is and what the growth is or decline or whatever it is. And I'll be straight up. If I take all the data that I have been able to see and can compile together and stuff that I'm privy to, I would say, based upon her results, that what I'm involved with and the companies that I'm involved with, we've got about 50% of the entire U.S. listening podcast market. If you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. I really do. If you want to buy, if you believe that statement, just call me, and I've got a cool bridge to sell for you. Okay? There's no way. I know what our numbers are. I know what other shows do. I know some samples of some shows that are not in my network, what they do, and obviously there's some crossover. Some listeners listen to more than one show, obviously, but I also know where unique IPs come in, and I know where the spread is. And that spread, I can account for about 50% amongst these networks, about 50% of their 700,000 unique independent households. So yeah, I'm sorry. I don't agree. I think they're wrong with their assessment. I respect Forrester and what they come up with, but I don't agree with this. Now, John Furrier over at PodTech, and he's got a great network of shows over there. Matter of fact, they got $5.5 million of venture funding. He thinks they're wrong too. And there's been a lot of talk about it today. There's been on GigaOM.com. There's been some talk as well. And we'll see. We'll see what it turns out to be. But I think it's about the listening audience is about 10 times greater than what Forrester's predicting. That's what I really think it's at. When you look at the number of people that are using iTunes and downloading podcasts, maybe Apple will weigh in and let us know. It'd be kind of nice to see if they have any metrics. All right, we're going to talk about Robin Good again. He's got a cool post up on his website called Video Editing, Publishing, and Remixing Online is Here. So, you know, I didn't realize that there was all these cool tools to do video editing online. And if you want to do that, you can. There's a couple of cool spots or cool sites that have come up. One is called iSpot at iSpot.com. One's JumpCut.com. Another's motionbox.com. I'm going to link this up. Great article. Great number of resources there for you. So you can check that out. And if you're into video editing and you want to do it online, a very interesting way to do video editing. You know, I hadn't thought that it would ever go that way, but it most definitely is. Okay, last article of the night, and then we've got a bunch of comments. First thing is, this last article is on Boing Boing. It's talking about a new anonymizer that's out with new anti-filter services for China net citizens. And if you know someone in China that is always battling the government regulators there, you're going to want to hook them up with the information on where this site is. I'll put the link up to Boing Boing's article in the show notes. But I can't even pronounce the domain that they're actually sticking this at. But it's going to bounce around. It's going to move to different IPs, different domains, because the Chinese will shut it down, you know, shut the domain down. So it's nice to see that people are out there still trying to allow people to bypass government regulators and let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Also, this is the Military Appreciation Month. So if you see a service member out there on the street, make sure you stick a hand out and wish them give them a big thank you. I'm sure they would have definitely appreciate it. So I'm sure many of you weren't aware of that. Maybe you don't live in communities where there are any service members. At least those of you in the United States, probably everyone is affected. You know someone in the service, but give them a big thank you. This is Military Appreciation Month. Okay, let's start out with some audio comments. I haven't listened to these in advance, so I'm going to kick the first one up here, and we'll play it.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom again calling from Chicago. I left your voicemail the other day. Just disregard that because you answered it on Tuesday's show about podcasting. I would love to see podcasting get to the next, you know, get to the level where it is being talked about by major media sources, and you know, as far in make it into a media format that advertisers want to spend their dollars on, whether it's raw content or not. And I really like what you're doing as far as limiting the number of sponsors, because you're right. I've listened to some shows that have it's almost sound like they're a radio program, and you know, that's not what it's about. And I don't want to hear a bunch of commercials. You know, the minute I hear them on the radio, I turn them off. So it's almost subtle how the ads are introduced, and it's good. It's a good thing. But I'd love to see it all happen. You know, see podcasting turn into something, and I think it will, up to the point that someday technology will change and grow to another level where something else might take its place. I don't think video casting will do it, but I think podcasting is gonna, you know, it's going to grow. I'm sure of that. So those are my 2 cents, but ignore my other message because this is, you answered my question. I appreciate that. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I may have missed the other message. Maybe it's the next one we're going to play. We may play it anyway. I haven't listened to them. I honestly haven't. But I tell you what, it is going to grow. The space is going to grow. And how big it gets, we don't know. Obviously, we have to make it easier for the listeners. And those of you that are listening to the show can help us by getting the word out about podcasting. Educate your friends. Turn them on to how cool it is. You guys have circles of influence. You know, the numbers of people that listen to this show, I bet you if we took, you know, if all of you took 10 people, you know, you could effectively reach 250,000 people. You really could. So get out there and tell people about podcasting and help the medium grow. And, you know, if you've got some cool shows, put them on a CD and let them listen to it on CD first to get them turned on. And I think that'll help. So here's the second one. We'll see if this is the, if this is our friend from Chicago.
Hey, Todd, it's Todd Kleinwich from Chicago. I just had a quick question for you. I enjoyed your rant about podcasting and your goals and whatnot. But I got a quick question for you. Hey, I don't know, you know, you wrote a great book, and it's really been a guide for sitting at my podcast. But what are you trying to, I mean, I think from a holistic point of view, you're trying to create this a great community of podcasting. And I know that you're trying to make some money at the same time, but it's okay to make money, right? It's okay to make money at doing this or try to do this. I know you were talking about, you know, different goals and whatnot and what people have. But I do think that at some point this media forum can be a profitable marketing venture for many companies that, you know, and people out there as well. And maybe, like you said, you know, might pay a mortgage payment or you know, a nice dinner out. But I just want to know, wouldn't you love to be able to quit your day job?
You bet.
And just podcast all day long? I know you would.
Absolutely.
But I just want to, you know, it's okay to hear that once in a while, too. You know, even though you're not trying to make a ton of money, and you're not trying to make it off us, obviously, or, you know, listeners. But anyway, I'm not quite sure what I'm asking, but I enjoy the show. And, you know, I want to make money doing it. I want to make money podcasting. I want to make money that I can mine's a little different. I want to make money so I can give it back to some charities. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. I always enjoy the show. Look forward to it, and keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, two great comments, and well said. And I tell you what, my goal is to obviously build a company, but it's not on the back of podcasters. That's my goal. I'm not going to do it by, you know, taking podcasters are going to get there. The podcasters are doing the work. They're creating this great space. Okay, and that's the goal. And you know, if we make money, we make money. If we don't, we don't. We're having fun doing it. We're having fun in the space. And I think I talked about it on the last show, and probably, you know, we beat a dead horse here, but I think that as long as we take care of you, the listeners, and we don't abuse you, and we give you added value back, I think you'll stay subscribed. And if you don't, we'll know when you desubscribe. Now, we get emails back saying, hey, you need to shut the heck up talking about this podcasting stuff so much and talk about tech. But those of you who've been around the show since day one know that this show is a mix of podcasting discussion, talk about technology, what's going on in the space, fair use. So anyway, that's, I think, great two audio comments. But let's get into the email comments today. I got a first one from Mark. He said, I run Windows XP on my computer only to serve hardware such as my iPod and webcam. Resolution here is 1280 by 1024. Got a bunch of people back that told me all of their screen resolutions. There's a great feedback on that. One back from Joey. Got something back from actually a doctor that listens to the show out of Georgetown University. And I am quite honored that we have someone so prestigious listening to the podcast. But he says, hey, I listened to your podcast for the first time. I find it interesting. We'll try to subscribe in coming days. I just want to respond to your comment on supercomputers. Two uses that I am excited as a physician scientist are following. First, 3D protein structure predictions. Second, genome analysis. Some detailed 3D structures of number of proteins are not known. Classical analysis and identification of 3D crystal structures is extremely expensive and time-consuming. Scientists tried to perform computation modeling on a number of proteins to create minimal energy stable structures based on known models and predetermined scientific restrictions. A normal sized protein is more than a billion possible conformations. That is where supercomputers are useful. Genome analysis. Human genome now decoded contains 3 billion codes. These codes hold the secret to human evolution, disease, and therapy. Comparison genomics compare human genome to other species and attempt to identify uniqueness and similarities. Supercomputers are now being useful to fast-track these processes and develop genetic maps. Very, very cool. Thank you for the email, Doctor. It's definitely appreciated. Got an email from John. He says, I recently started a blog that some of your readers might find interesting. The blog is called TypePad Hacks at www.typepadhacks.org and focuses on a user design, collecting useful hacks for extending the capabilities of TypePad blogs, user form, providing a forum for issues, news, and user concerns about Six Apart products and services, and user power, organizing users into a unified voice to lobby Six Apart for features, fixes and changes to TypePad, most important to all of us. Call it consumer advocacy. I'll put a link up in the show notes to your website, John. Thanks for the submission. Of course, Brian, my creative director over at Raw Voice, says, hey, Todd, you make sure that the free blogging service, make sure you remind him that WordPress has a free one at wordpress.com. Thanks for that, Brian. And probably that's a better choice than Blogger. That's definitely for sure. Got an email from Arvin. He says, hey, hi, Todd. Great show. This is one of my favorite podcasts. Keep up the great work. I like your show, not just because of your content, but your show is a little bit personal to me. It is as if you're talking to me over the phone. Only that we don't talk back. So let us know how you do in school. Some interesting stuff about how your ghost experience and also my UFO experience. We may have to recap that sometime here, talk about it again. I didn't like the idea about the smaller version of your show. I like the way it is. It goes in to talk about the screen resolutions that he's using. But hey, thanks for the feedback. Also, talking about, he says, I worked on a genetic algorithms GA last semester as my final project, where I had to train a neural network with GA. It took nearly 3 weeks to run a 3.2 gigahertz Pentium with 1 gigabyte of RAM. That's a lot of computing for what I was trying to do. I've read papers where neural networks were trained using GA to play games like chess and checkers. We call it true AI since it's not like Deep Blue or any of the other algorithms which use human intelligence or heuristics, which nearly took 6 to 8 months to develop intelligence. So if you have a really, really complex task, say develop artificial intelligence for a humanoid robot, and you want to use genetic algorithms, that monster might be handy to you. And that's he's talking about that supercomputer. Got an issue from an email from Keith. He says, we talked about me having SMTP issues when I move around a lot. He says he uses a SMTP service called 1and1.com, costing him $12.99 a month. Again, that service that I'm using with Dynamic DNS, dyndns.com, is $24 for a year. It's a little cheaper. Got an email from Bill from Surf Noise. He said, hey, love the podcast. Thanks for sending the email. Got an email from Joe talking about supercomputer use and being used in high-level design of things like aircraft and cars. Also, vehicle crash testing, some of the stuff like that, weather forecasting. I got an email from Derek saying, hey, I just reviewed several thousand photographs at Photo Search today for an annual report for my company. I recall that you said that you had access to stock photos at a reasonable cost. I just read the Flickr Nation article you posted on your blog. I was wondering if you'd be willing to point me to low-cost stock photo business you use. I got to dig that out for you yet, Derek. I will get that out for you, I promise. I just got to dig around and find my subscription info. I got a whole bunch of email on more free blogging space. People are suggesting Blogger, MySpace, TypePad, another site called Blog City for free blogs. Also, I got an email from Glenn saying that he had trouble getting the podcast via iTunes. If anyone else has had that same problem, please let us know. I got more and more, just more and more. There was a huge, huge influx of messages this week, so I can't get to them all today. We're already at 60 minutes. So, hey, I want to thank all of you for tuning into the podcast. Thank you so very much for being part of the family here. And, of course, send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline. Audio comments preferred, 619-342-7365. Or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. I'll be back with you next Tuesday. Check out the contest over at techpodcast.com. And thanks for being part of the family. Aloha. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.